Time to welcome in our friend who has played both on the red and white in his Nebraska career in the spring game. It is Matt Verzal. Good Friday morning.
What's up, boys?
How are you doing? More importantly, have you picked out what spot on Michigan Avenue you will stake out for the Bears Super Bowl parade?
Told you.
I know.
I don't like Caleb Williams.
Told you.
That dude's going to try to pull his, like, get off script, scramble around the pocket, get destroyed, concussion, see you next year.
Oh, man.
Not a fan. But I like Roma Doomsday.
Yeah.
I would like to see him get a lineman, but I guess if you just throw 3-yard passes, maybe you got a shot.
Nick?
Verz, come on, man. I was riding high last night. I knew your thoughts on Caleb Williams because I asked you about him before as well, but the Roma Dunze selection, I did like. I look at that wide receiver trio now with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze. It excites me. And if you can just get a healthy Tevin Jenkins, come on, the offensive line can come together.
Yeah, sure. That day, I mean, I've seen that kid out of Georgia, that 6'7", nightmare Mims, fuel monster.
Yeah.
Cool. Man, that is a large human being. And I guess what? I can make an average quarterback look real good when I give him time, when I give him some protection, and I can run the ball. Mm-hmm. And running the ball and balls drafting linemen.
Well,
Harbaugh just played everybody. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you.
That was a good pick.
Did. He knew he wanted Joe Alt. He hyped up all his own ex-quarterback. And then now everybody goes on this quarterback run of the dumb teams at the top. And he's like, sweet, I got the best lineman in the draft. Thanks, fellas.
That's a really good pick that kind of got overlooked with Joe Alt. But so let's look at this. And, you know, there were a lot of quarterbacks taken yesterday. There were a lot of wide receivers. But there were also a lot of offensive tackles. And they do this thing called the hit rate. So these guys get their second deal with their original team. Centers, yeah. Offensive tackle. Yeah. Centers, offensive tackle, guards have the highest hit rate. The lowest hit rates are safety, tight end, wide receiver. We talk about hit rates on high school to college at those positions, not so good. Why is the NFL so good at evaluating centers, tackles, and guards, essentially offensive linemen?
Because what the skill, like, okay, it's easier to have a good defensive lineman you're going to play against. You're playing against NFL caliber talent more frequently than you are at corner. Like, if you're a receiver and you're at corner, tight ends are impossible because now everybody doesn't use them to block. They used to be glorified 17th receiver on the team. And it's just, I mean, you gotta, like, this game is very simple. It's blocking and tackling. Now, you notice in there, nowhere did I say it involved throwing.
Mm-hmm.
It is blocking and tackling at the Pee Wee level, at the junior high level, at the varsity level, at the college level, at the UFL level, at the NFL level. It ain't hard. It ain't rocket science. There's no need to make this game harder than you think it needs to be. I want to move you off of space. If I can move you off that space, we're going to go forward. It's a very simple game.
When offensive line... Oh, sorry.
Once the powers that be figured out they could monetize it by playing catch, then it all went downhill.
When offensive linemen struggle in the NFL and the tradition, especially if you're talking about guys that are first or second rounders that grade out well, what do you think is, if there's a common link or if there's something that you think that they would struggle with more than anything between the college game to the pro game? Is it just having monsters in front of you? What do you think that lacks if there are any offensive linemen that don't hold up that grade going into the pros?
Stones. Mm. Cojones. Marbles.
Weevils?
Like, you chances are, where you came from, were the bully, and now you're in a room full of bullies. Mm. And so now, are you mentally tough enough to get over it and get that job done? And that's the thing that gets a lot of those guys, is then they start to doubt themselves.
Yep.
And man, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I'm not that guy. And then they start to basically just do too much. Like, there's a reason. Like, if you want to know what an offensive lineman should be, Taylor Lewan. Like, Taylor Lewan gave zero F, and then the negative F that he had, he gave those back too. Just because he had the utmost confidence in himself that, yeah, Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do this. Now, your body eventually will betray you and, you know, injuries happen and that kind of stuff. But the guys that don't pan out just don't have the dog in them.
How does Nebraska get guys drafted?
By dogs.
Do they have... I'll let you finish, but I want to ask this quick because I agree with you. Does your eyeballs on this current roster tell you there are at least a couple?
Okay. Couple eventually, maybe.
Okay.
Couple that need to get like punched in the face and then like be able to go figure it out. Then, like, see if you want to keep going. But yeah, they got some nice players. They got some nice players in year two of a full blown program rebuild. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we are great at this in Nebraska. We will get the cart so far ahead of the horse, the horse will have to run a day to catch up to the cart. It isn't an overnight thing. You can't now. You want to go to corrections and you want to pick up 10, 15 guys? Now we're talking. But we ain't about that. We ain't about that life, right? But you got to find, you got to find dudes that enjoy inflicting pain. Like they're not right in the head. Mm-hmm. And we have too many that are nice. And maybe, you know, they've been through a couple regimes. They think they got the system figured out. But they also know still right now, and I know this isn't going to be popular, but they still don't have anybody to push them to get them out of where they need to be. And, you know, I don't, if one side of the ball dominates the other in the spring game, awesome. Awesome. It's probably one of the best, one of the worst things that can happen is for this to be a back and forth game. You need it to be one side pummeling the other side so you can say, okay, you guys got to get it figured out. Or else it's going to be a long year.
Well, okay. Right? But what if that's the, what we perceive as the better side of the ball or more experienced is, what if the defense gets pummeled?
Then your offense is better than you thought it was.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Okay. Hmm. So at the end,
you have to like be careful as we draw these correlations and we want to pull all this information out of spring practice. Because you don't know what either side of the ball is. That defense may look great, but you don't know what that offense is.
Yeah.
You know, where did the offense end up last year for a ranking?
Yeah, not good.
Yep.
Okay. So now I don't know how we can just jump ahead and start somewhere where we've never been, assuming the offense is going to be great. If the offense progresses to just good, we're probably in a good spot. But if it, you know, so people that say, oh my God, the defense is dominating the defense. Well, you don't know what they're playing against. Playing against two freshmen and a junior that, you know, has 6-7 starts. Mm-hmm. An offensive line that probably still needs to increase its foot speed and just increase its nasty. Teams will go as far as the offensive and defensive lines take them. I'll say it every time I come on here until everybody just tweets it back at me like, yeah, we get it. But when those are your two rooms that everybody fears, you win a lot of games. Like, you think those corners and safeties at Michigan enjoyed it when they ran their little toss sweep and the guard and tackle both pulled after the tight end had pinned the defensive end down? And they said, good luck, three technique, trying to chase down the running back. Do you think those corners wanted to come up in their scrimmages and pop those big offensive linemen? No, sir, they didn't. But that's when you know you're headed toward greatness, is when those two rooms are your most feared rooms.
Verz, you made me think of something when you talked about guy. You just basically need ass kickers, guys that are they're not considered to be. Oh, this is a kind person here. And I was joking about someone who played for the Bears because I remember when they got Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. He had almost a borderline psychotic behavior, which I was really excited about. And you brought up something that I'm fascinated by, and that is, it probably exists in a lot of those guys that play that position, but it's a matter of getting it out. As a coach or as a staff, is it just about the competition, the situations you put them in practice that you can get that out, or is there other methods of doing so?
You can get it out of people by putting them in competitive situations. Now, you have to eliminate the optics of things. You can't worry like, oh, this guy doesn't look like he should.
Mm-hmm.
A minute example, and he's still one of my favorite kids I ever got to coach, who was a kid, well, there's two of them in Malcolm. One was named Ryan Bashus, who split time at nose guard and center, or and corner, sorry. So we had, if they would come out in a certain formation, our nose guard would go out and cover. Did not look the part,
mm-hmm.
did not think he would be as good as he was, but nobody could block him. Mitch Bargeman would be another one. Mitch Bargeman just was in our program, and we did kickoff one day. I think Mitchie was a sophomore, and Mitchie went down there and steal a line from Jay Foreman. He went down and put heads to bed, like to the point where then when we took the second rep, nobody wanted to attempt to block Mr. Bargeman.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find that, then you put Mitch Bargeman in as linebacker, and Mitch never let the linebacker position go. He started the rest of his career because he was about that life. And I think you just have to put them in intense situations all the time until the intensity becomes second nature. Even how you know, in your workouts, in your weight room, when you walk to class, your grade, like everything has to be intense. And that's where I would probably try to strive just to see who it comes out of. Yeah. They got a little corner, number 24. I don't know his name. He's about that. He came up and smoked a dude. They're running like third or fourth in one drill. He came up and smoked somebody. And then he got hyped and let him know about it. And he liked it.
Yeah, well.
He liked it. It was cool.
Well, that's Marquise Buford Jr.
There you go.
Yep.
Take that one.
Yep.
You find 22 of them, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. His.
And he ain't big. He's little.
And he's got his brother that is here as well. So Marquise is the older one. He's 5'11", 190. Mario is about 20 pounds lighter, and he's a freshman. Mario's going to be a really good player. Marquise is coming back from a knee injury, but I agree with you. I've heard that he's been a thumper this spring.
He is not afraid.
No.
And he's also not afraid to let you know now.
that part that, I've heard as well.
In that, he might take that a little too far, but that's okay. It's easy to pull that back. Like, hey, man, you can't get us a penalty. He didn't in the one I saw, but he came up and brought it. He read, diagnosed, reacted, bam, way dead.
Hey, as always, we appreciate it. People should know that Matt Verzal is in the stats, the official stats of a spring game in 1994 with a tackle playing for the white team.
Yeah, and you know what else happened in 1994 on that white team?
I know you lost.
No, not true. We won.
Oh, are you sure?
We were in the shootout. Maybe it was 95. We were in the shootout, Brooke v. Tommy.
Yeah.
And I was a member of the white team that won a spring game. Like 45-43.
Yeah, that was 95.
Okay, 95. Well, yeah. I got a W, and not many white team members can say they got a W.
Hey, have a great weekend. Always appreciate it, my friend.
Hey, boys.
That's Matt Verzal. On an interception, had an assisted tackle. He was playing offensive line. But the Whites did lose that year.
Did you have to remind him that, though? He said, you lost. It was kind of...
Well, because you said the Red were the better team during the stretch of T.O.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you need some reps, so they put you on the white team.
Yeah, we got a Keith email. I thought the rosters were coming out. They're not yet. It's just more about the protocol tomorrow. No rosters yet.
They don't want people to, they don't want South Dakota State or somebody else to fleece your roster. Look at him, that four-string guy.
Ooh, he's wearing
four-string. Yes.
And he's wearing an odd number, too. I don't know. He might be on the take. Keep your eye on that.
All right, we'll come back. We'll put a wrap on the week on a Feel Good Friday. We got the crossover coming up at the top of the hour. Connor Happer Show. And we'll have some things to look forward to if you're headed to the spring game. Coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m. I don't know if we'll have baseball today. It's just rain all weekend. But it looks like the heaviest rain tomorrow is after 4.
Yeah.
So it won't impact the spring game. The spring game weather actually looks really nice.
And I'm I'm thinking, just looking at the forecast on Sunday, if you're looking to complete a series for either Nebraska or Creighton, that is going to have some challenges too. So whatever you can get in that window tomorrow, you better do it.
Move to a dome.
Yeah.
Man. One pitch, one batter, go. You got one pitch.
Well, you come up with a 1-1 count.
Like the Royals and the Rays, or the Royals and the Jays yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, they had a 3.5-hour delay. Man, I felt like before they put the tarp on, I mean, it was pouring. I don't know. I don't know how Kyle Isbell made the Willie Mays type catch they made yesterday.
The warning track.
But, you know, they tried to put the tarp on and the wind is whipping.
Yeah.
And then, and they would cut back to LeFevre. Boy, he was agitated. He was like, we have no update.
Yeah, you've been in that situation before,
but then
too.
They, you know, and then they would look at the field, and it was... And then the Royals are playing today, so, you know, you got the NFL draft going on in Detroit. The Tigers and the Royals open a series today, like, across the street.
Yeah.
So they're playing, 1 o'clock local time, noon here?
Yeah, young
so they were, like, running up. I thought, would the Chiefs draft first before the Rays, or the Rays, the Jays, Royals series was over, but they finally banged it after when it was an official game.
That
they waited 3.5 hours, and majority of that, there was no rain.
And see, that's the more frustrating part of it. But I know you've been in it many times. I have too at the College World Series, where when there are certain entities like the NCAA and TV, and they know that if they've got to consolidate for the next day and that screws up inventory, that they try to keep everybody there as long as possible and get that game played, even though you are looking at a radar and it's just continuing to funnel up north. And you're like, this is not going to stop until like midnight. Yet they're keeping you there. Everybody in the press box knows this ain't happening, and yet they're keeping you there. The Ryan LaFever moment, it reminds me exactly of a Sean McDonough moment, where I could hear him off the air talking to the truck before he'd actually go on the air, and that little man's rage was palpable, and it was awesome. That was the only thing that got me through the rain, is just listening to Sean McDonough's rage about how there was no decision yet. They're going to try to wait another 50 minutes, and then when they would extend the decision, oh my gosh.
So enjoy another episode.
But then he'd come on and, we're back at the College World Series here in the rain delay, and then he'd be off the air and be like, are you effing kidding me? Can we just go to effing sleep? It was great.
Yeah. So I think they'll bang it. If they're going to bang games today, they'll bang them early.
Yeah. I think you got to come up with a pretty ironclad plan for tomorrow and Sunday, and you might have to alter some of the times. I get it for the good thing is Iowa doesn't have to worry probably too much about a curfew. Obviously Georgetown will have to worry about that. So
you don't think they fly private here to Omaha?
I'm feeling no.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe buy a choppa. Maybe they got a couple choppas. But no. I think they're going commercial on that one.
All right. Back to put a wrap on the show after this in 1620 The Zone.